From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin. In a few minutes, selling careers in science and technology to girls. And KERA series The Broken Hip concludes with a look at another type of fracture that's even tougher to bounce back from. First, a red letter day for Big D. Dallas and Cleveland are in. Denver and Kansas City are out. The Republican National Committee announced the two finalists to host its 2016 convention today. KERA's Dwali Saikautel reports Dallas has one big advantage, a loaded wallet.
Hosting a convention can cost $50 to $60 million. For Dallas, that's apparently not a problem. In fact, it's a strength, says Philip Jones, president and CEO of the Dallas Convention Visitors Bureau.
We're at the point now where we could guarantee that we have commitments of $46 million. And I know that Cleveland certainly doesn't have the ability to offer or guarantee the $46 million that we do, but they're a strong competitor.
Strong because Cleveland is offering a June start date, while Dallas can only offer dates in July. Ohio is an important battleground state. Texas is deep red.
If we can land this one for Dallas, it's going to be a huge coup for the city. And I think it also positions Dallas well as the up-and-coming global destination because there are 15,000 credentialed media.
Add tens of thousands of convention visitors, and promoters say that could bring in $250 million to Dallas. The Republican Party site selection committee says it will decide on a winner in early August. Dwali Saikautel, KERA News.
About half of the U.S. workforce is female, but only one in four jobs in STEM fields go to women. KERA's Stella Chavez checks out a summer camp at the University of Texas in Dallas that aims to get girls excited about science, technology, engineering, and math.
Inside a cramped university laboratory, a group of middle school girls squeeze in to watch some scientists at work. Today, they're learning about something called carbon nanotubes.
It's the energy of the future, we are calling it. It's very cheap, right? So nobody paying for solar energy, right? Sun coming and going. So we're using that nature opportunity.
That scientist, Zharkni Christian, she's from Kazakhstan. The girls look intrigued. One of them asked the inevitable question.
What made you want to become a scientist?
I was a little girl. When I was playing with just aluminum wires, and I was always thinking, what it has inside? And I was always curious to see what it has inside. I wanted to see structure of it.
She finally got her wish in college. The turning point was the day a professor gave her a piece of metal. He told her to clean it and look at it under a microscope. The professor's nearly 90 now. She thanked him during her last trip back to Kazakhstan. Her message to the girls...
I think if you will find your way in your life, you're going to be happiest girl in the world.
Most of these girls have never met a scientist, much less a female one. They're all part of a two-week Girls Inc. camp for girls entering eighth grade. The goal? Get girls thinking about STEM-related careers and college. 70% of the girls come from families who make less than $30,000 a year, and many live in single-parent homes.
We want them to see women that are in careers perhaps that they have never even thought about or didn't even know existed. And we want them to be exposed to subject areas that perhaps they haven't heard of.
That's Brenda Rain, Chief Program Officer for Girls Inc.
And you could see the excitement in their eyes and all as they were looking at what happens when they stretch these carbons and all. So,
13-year-old Lola Stewart Morris says being in a science lab was great, but meeting these women was even better.
We need more women scientists in the world, so I think that that was great that there were women scientists leading girls to become women scientists versus men telling the girls about science.
So why aren't more women going into science and tech? Bernine Kahn, director of the Science and Engineering Education Center at UTD, points to stereotypes.
Even stereotype from parents and from the teachers, they think this, maybe there's still the thought that boys still outperform girls in mathematics and science and engineering. But I think that's changing.
And she may be right, judging by the reaction of 12-year-old Natalie Gantu.
Because I love doing hands-on stuff, so I think it's kind of cool. And it's cool just to see like what's behind our screens and how we get our energy.
Maybe one day, Natalie will be back in this lab, but this time, she'll be teaching. Stella Chavez, KERA News.
Now to the final chapter in our breakthrough series, The Broken Hip. Only what we're focusing on today is a different fracture that's even tougher to treat. It's called a pelvic fracture, and KERA's Lauren Silverman looks at how the injury galvanized one North Texas family.
Yu-Ying Lee was trying to get up out of a chair last year when she fell and fractured her pelvis. Her daughter Jen wasn't sure she'd survive.
You know, she's 91. It's hard. She couldn't turn. She cannot move. We didn't even think she's going to make it.
Today, she shuffles around the family restaurant in Flower Mound without a walker, sitting for a sip of tea. You'd never know that just a few months ago, she had her broken bone pinned, followed by multiple rounds of physical therapy. Jen, her sister Tracy, and their 89-year-old dad, Cheng Hua, are here with Mrs. Lee today. The entire family swooped in to care for her after the fall.
When you're lonely, when you're old, when you're sad, when you're in the pain, you may just give up. You know, during that time, with family support, we the grandkids go over there, we joke with her, we eat a dinner with her. You know, Tracy always makes sure she gets the right medicine, all those things.
Mrs. Lee was born in Taiwan, the year of the pig. And much like her Chinese zodiac symbol, she's compassionate and works hard to keep everyone happy, even singing on occasion. In the 70s, Lee and her husband moved to Dallas to be with their children, now grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Jen didn't realize how close they all were until she saw her dad in the recovery room after her mom's surgery.
And I saw him give her a hug, you know, pat her face. I never saw that. Never. First time. Yes. You know, Chinese family, our culture, we don't show as much. You know, when I see that, I walk out the door and I tell honest God, I have a tear in my eye.
We know that people who have friends and family to support them do better, not just in the emotional side of recovery, but in the physical things, when they walk and things like that.
Alan Jones is an orthopedic surgeon at Baylor Medical Center. He says while the number of hip fractures are up, the rate has actually dropped in the past decade. On the other hand, there's been a rise in pelvic fractures.
We almost never saw them. Now they're less, much less common than hip fractures, but you know, for every 10 hip fractures, there's probably one pelvis fracture, which is still a lot. The difference is they're very painful, and because they're not repaired or replaced with surgery, they remain painful sometimes for weeks or even months.
Here's the thing. What are often called hip fractures are actually breaks in the thigh bone, the femur. A pelvic fracture refers to the pelvis, which is the actual hip bone, tailbone, or sacrum at the base of the spine. And doctors aren't sure why they're seeing more pelvic fractures.
One of the reasons may be the influence of osteoporosis medicines. I think one of the reasons pelvis fractures are more common is people with more severe medical illness are living longer and being treated with more medications that weaken your bones.
Sisters Jen and Tracy Lee are nearing what some call retirement age, so the thought of a hip or pelvic fracture is scary, especially because they can't imagine their own kids becoming caregivers as they have. Here's Tracy.
You know, my son's 40 years old, and his son is not even 1 year old. Okay, so he's got to work pretty hard to take care of that baby until finish college, right? Because that's what we think. We think different, yeah. So even if they want to, I don't think they can have the time and the resources to help us.
But Mr. Lee tells his kids, don't worry. It's not good for you. Besides, he's too busy celebrating the announcement of a new great-grandbaby.
It's a boy.
Lauren Silverman, KERA News.
You can find our digital storytelling project at kera.org/thebrokenhip. You can like KERA News on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin.